Welcome to the Coaching Lab Podcast. I'm head coach Matt Dennis, and today we're going to continue our conversation about shooting and how to develop better shooters. I've saw something interesting on social media recently about shooting on air, and I want to dive into that a little bit. We're going to talk about four reasons you would want your players to shoot on air, and four reasons when it's not such a good idea to have them shoot on air. Let's go ahead and dive into the episode.
Welcome to the Coaching Lab Podcast, where basketball coaches build more success in less time by increasing their ability to teach, lead, and coach the players on their team and in their program.
Thanks for joining me for the Coaching Lab Podcast again, Coach. Like I said in the intro, we're going to be talking about shooting on air. Now, I want to give you a little background of where this stems from before I get into when it's okay and when it's not okay to shoot on air. And if you don't know, I'm going to explain exactly what I mean by shooting on air as well. But this particular episode stems from something I saw on social media the other day where a trainer posted a video of some of the work they'd been doing with an athlete. Now, this is a college-level athlete, very good player, but they're trying to fine-tune some skills. They're trying to develop some habits. And he posted about a 30-second clip of this player and what they'd been working on. Well, someone decided to say that, you know, this isn't the proper way to coach. You know, you're giving them verbal cues in a game. They don't get verbal cues. There's better ways to train athletes. And kind of wanted to rip into him a little bit. And I thought it was, you know, just kind of ridiculous that the person had a rebuttal like that, because we're seeing a 30-second clip of an athlete who is obviously training some very small details and developing their game. It's not like this person was first learning how to shoot. This is somebody who was probably already a very good shooter, and they're taking them to a next level. Now, we don't know what happened before or after this clip. Obviously, the workout was not 30 seconds long. They might have had more players involved, so they did some different decision-making drills or some small-sided games, or they went through some other sort of workout beforehand, and now they're just getting some reps in to kind of solidify those habits and the different things that they've been working on. I don't know, because I didn't see the whole workout. I think it's really important to know that when we see stuff on social media, you know, you take it for what it's worth. You take it for this is a way to see a high-level player shooting, or this is a way for a player to be trained and to develop their game, whether you use that trainer or a different trainer. Now, there's lots of reasons. As soon as we start to think that the player or the trainer or something is wrong because they're not doing it the exact same way we would, then I think we get this mentality of just kind of being a know-it-all. And we've got to be really careful with that. I learn new things all the time when I'm talking to coaches or when I view a practice or when somebody sends me some clips of something, even on social media when I'm viewing things. You know, I'm looking for minute details. How can I do things better? And that's really the goal, is to try to improve yourself, not really tear somebody down. That's one of my biggest pet peeves with social media, is we want to tear down somebody else for what they're doing. And that may be perfect for what they need in their skill development and their maturity. The level of athlete that they're working with may not be good for a higher level athlete or for a lower level athlete. We really don't know all the situation. But it got me thinking about, when is it okay to shoot on air and when don't we want to shoot on air? Because that was one of the biggest arguments. A player has no one in front of them for defense. There's no decision-making involved. There's no reaction to a closeout. There's nothing that makes this game like for this player, so it's a waste of time. And I don't think that's always the case, but we're going to go over when it's okay to shoot on air and when it's not. So what do I mean by shooting on air? It's basically without a defense. So you're getting past the ball, whether it's from a shooting machine or from a coach. You might be receiving a verbal cue, or you might be receiving a visual cue of some kind, but it's not from a defensive player. It's not somebody trying to block your shot, trying to stop you from scoring. So when is it okay to shoot on air? And these aren't, it's not an end-all, be-all list. These are just four different concepts that quickly came to mind as I'm thinking about this and I'm writing things down. I think, all right, these are the four that probably hit the broadest area. And the first is, when is it okay? It's when you're developing new habits, when players are developing new habits. They're learning something new. This starts with the youth all the way up to, I think, your college and your pros. if you are developing a new habit in some way, your hand position is slightly different. You're going to hop into your shot, or you're going to do a 1-2 step into your shot. You're stepping back, but you're trying to develop a new habit. You need to shoot on air because you need that muscle memory to be there, and doing it over and over and over again the same way is how you're going to develop that. Coach, let's take a quick time out. Just the other day, I received an email from a coach saying, I've been coaching for a long time, and it amazes me how much I still have to learn about the game of basketball. We used a few of your drills in our last workout, and they went great. I look forward to going through the rest of the coaching lab later this week. Now, if you don't know what the coaching lab is, I encourage you to go over to CoachMattDennis.com and sign up for a 3-day free trial. Inside the coaching lab, you're going to find a coaching library with hundreds and hundreds of resources for you to view, for you to read, you to print, whatever it is that you need. You'll find the drill vault. You'll find the Coach's Corner videos, as well as different coaching courses that you can take. So if you're a coach who's just starting out and you're trying to figure out everything, or you're a veteran coach who's been around, who's just looking for something new, the Coaching Lab has what you need. So go check out the Coaching Lab at CoachMattDennis.com. Okay, let's get back to the show. The second reason is creating consistency with something you already have. So if you know you're going to be coming off of a screen to take a shot, you need to come off of that screen multiple times and try to do it the same way over and over and over again to develop consistency with your shot. If you're moving back, so you're not right on the, let's say, 15 foot, you move to the three-point line, or move from the high school three-point line to the college three-point line, or college to NBA. Every time you step back, you need to develop new consistency with your shot, with your power, with everything that goes into it. So it's not the habit. You have the habit. You need to develop consistency with whatever it is that you're trying to work on in your shooting game. And it typically comes with moving back or moving to a new spot that you don't normally shoot from, that sort of thing. The third way is when you're adding a new movement. Now, this kind of goes with our consistency, but adding new movements can be really small. It doesn't have to be coming off of a screen. It could be a shot fake and a step to the side. It could be a shot fake and a one dribble pull-up. There could be lots of reasons to do that. If we're looking at the post, we're adding movements with new post moves. We're not any farther away from the hoop, but an up and under versus a drop step versus an inside pivot or an outside pivot all have different movements, but may require you to shoot really the same shot when you're finishing it. You end it the same way, or you're in the same distance from the hoop, that kind of thing. So when we're adding new movements, we need to shoot on air so that we can start to get those down. We can get comfortable with them and develop that into part of our game we could actually use against a defense. All right. And then the last is just more reps. You get more reps. That goes into the mental side of things, I think, with players, is if you're in there and you're shooting, you know, 100 free throws or 100 three-pointers, and you can get 100 in a row, that repetition can really help with all of those things. So developing our new habits, developing the consistency, adding new movements, we just need a ton of reps with those. So if we're just trying to get reps, that's the goal of our workout, then we need to make sure that that we're getting them. And having a defense on there doesn't always allow us to do that. So if you're in one of those four categories, I think it's okay to shoot on air, and you're still going to develop as a player. Would you rather tell your players, hey, let's not shoot today because we don't have a defense? No, if you've got a player in there and you're working with them, you want as many shots as you can get up. And then, yeah, when you have defense available, then you could certainly use them and create some more game-like situations. But that leads us into, when is it going to be, you know, not a good idea, or when's it not okay to shoot on air? I've got four of those as well. So when it's not okay to shoot on air, or why it's not, I guess would be a better way of putting it, is it doesn't create pressure. So having just time on the clock in a shooting workout and shooting on air does create some pressure, but doesn't create the same pressure as having a defender right there with you. Even if that you tell the defender, we're not going to block the shooter, we're just going to put our hand up right now, there is a level of pressure that you have a defender on you. It's something else that you have to make sure that you're paying attention to. So it doesn't create the same pressure. The second thing is it doesn't require the same concentration. At the high school game, we jump at the shooter. So we call up with the shooter. It's a drill that we do. But I want to be the second jumper every single time a person's going to shoot a three-pointer, is going to shoot a jump shot. Now, I tell them the second jumper because we don't want to get faked out. I'd rather be late on the challenge than to get faked out. But being the second jumper is something we talk to our players about a lot. When we look in video, and I haven't kept the stat 100%, but I can always find cases where we stay on our feet, the shooter is in rhythm, it's like we're not even there, and they knock down a shot. And we can go down another possession or two and say, all right, now we've jumped for the second jumper this time, and they missed it. What was the difference? They look to be about the same spot, they look to be in about the same rhythm. The only difference is we jumped at them. And why do we jump, especially at the high school level? It's because it requires more concentration from the shooter. So we want that shooter's concentration to be broken. We want their eye pattern to be moved a little bit. We want them to hold the ball just slightly differently or to release it slightly differently. And being a second jumper, in my opinion, helps that. I know coaches have different philosophies on that, and that's fine. But we don't want to always shoot on air because it doesn't require the same concentration. So if we're doing that with our opponents, the same thing holds true for us. We need to make sure that we're used to the pressure, we're used to the concentration of having a defender in front of us. So if we want to get game-like shots, that is something that's crucial to us developing as shooters. The third thing, it doesn't simulate game scenarios. Shooting on air is great. You're coming off of a cone like it's going to be a screen. But that's not the exact same thing as coming off of a screen and receiving a pass or receiving a handoff or receiving a pitch and coming into a shot. So we want to make sure that we can make those actions as game-like as possible. Skip passes would be another one where you're receiving the skip and you're shooting it on air is great, but what happens when you add the closeout defender? So the skip comes, they're closing out. Now you've got to come up and you've got to shoot it. Or you've got to say, hey, they're too close to me in this closeout. I need to pump fake. I need to drive and pull up for the 15-footer. We can't create game-like scenarios just having a coach pass the ball or having a shooting machine pass the ball out. We can do the best we can, but it's never going to be the same. So it doesn't have the defensive component to it that we'd like to see. And then the last thing here is less reps. You don't get as many reps. And this is probably the hardest thing for coaches to get away from when it comes to giving up their shooting time. Because if you're doing any sort of block practices, you know, I got 20 minutes for shooting. We're going to get a lot of shooting in, but it's all going to be on air. Well, is 20 minutes during your season of on-air shooting as good as, you say, 10 minutes of defensive pressure while shooting? So maybe it's a decision-making drill or a small-sided game where you give them what we want. We want to shoot a drive and kick three, but you know that it might take five passes before we get a really good one. Because one of the things for my players is we give them these drills and then they start shooting shots just because, well, it's a shooting drill. I'm going to jack it up no matter what, no matter where the defense is. And we just get horrible looks. So we start talking to players about shot selection. And we start talking to players about a good shot versus a great shot or a challenge shot versus an extra pass, which leads to an unchallenged shot. All of those things go into developing shooters. And when you're doing a small-sided game or you're doing a decision-making drill, you can certainly add that in, but you may only get 7 or 8 reps in the same amount of, for each player in the same amount of time that you might have got 100 shots in if we're just shooting on air. So the reps are definitely less, but the actual game time simulation is greater, so those shots can be more meaningful. Now, to wrap this whole thing up, I think the older players get, the more they can do in-game type pressure situations and they can get less reps but have it be a more meaningful practice. The younger kids need the on-air shooting. One thing I've seen with small-sided games, I love them, I use them a lot, but coaches will sometimes skip the fundamentals of it. And so they miss creating the habits, they miss creating the consistency in any drill, not just in shooting or in any skill. They miss those critical components to developing so that those small-sided games mean more. They just jump right into the games, which, sure, you're going to get some things that are a little bit better. But if you haven't worked on your shooting form enough, if you haven't worked on your passing enough, if you haven't worked on whatever skill it is that these kids will need, and you jump right into small-sided games, you'll find that those games, you know, don't mean much or get really ugly really fast at a small level, and there isn't a lot of skill building going on. So the younger levels, I think the on-air and the ability to build skill and to build consistency and create good habits is extremely important. As you get into the middle school levels, you still need to do that, but now you're starting to throw in some more games, and you're starting to throw in some more scenarios because they can think the game a little bit differently. And then finally, when they get up into the high school level, it's a little less and less. And even in the college level, the game situations and scenarios are much greater. But a lot of times for those players, especially at the varsity level and getting into any college level, the smaller colleges all the way up to your Division I, you're working on your game. Your players who are really serious are developing their game maybe with a trainer, or they're getting into the gym, or they're getting to the park or doing something. It's part of what they're doing anyways. So when they go to your practice, they've already got their on-air reps done. You can spend your practices doing something else. If you have players who are not getting their on-air reps, then you may need to spend some time on-air first and then transition into those games. So, Coach, that all stemmed from one thing I saw on social media. I wanted to break it down for you just a little bit. I hope you got something out of it. Kind of helps you develop maybe your thoughts about when it's okay to shoot on air, when it's not, how do you develop your shooters? But this is, you know, some stuff that I thought was pretty important to get out to you.
Thanks for listening to today's episode, Coach. If you'd like more great coaching content, I encourage you to check out The Coaching Lab at coachmattdennis.com. You'll find everything you need to have more success in less time.